Yodernovations Podcast for Sunday, April 2nd, 2006. Show number 50, coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Now, this week is a special show. It is show number 50, celebrating the one-year anniversary of the Yodernovations Podcast. The intent of this podcast is for it to be 100% listener content. So, the disclaimer for this week is, the information and the opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the listeners, do not necessarily reflect those of myself or my past, current, or future employers. Now, I'll come back at the end of the show and answer some of the questions raised in the podcast by the listeners themselves. So, please sit back and enjoy show number 50.
My name is Nelson DeWitt. I live in the suburbs outside of Boston, Massachusetts. I've been listening to the podcast since about episode 25, somewhere around there. I think the podcast, the Yodernovations podcast, has meant a lot to me, both on a personal level and on a professional level. Personally, it means a lot for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that I think it gives me the opportunity to participate in conversations that I wouldn't normally be part of. What I mean by that is I'm dyslexic. If you don't know what that means, I have a learning disability. So I have a hard time with reading and writing. I'm a horrible speller. And reading for me has always been a challenge. And anything longer than 2 pages is really hard for me to just comprehend. So having a medium where I can just go to a website, download an audio file, and listen to it is great for me. I'm like a sponge when it comes to, you know, listening to stuff. I do books on tape, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. And I think the information that's in the Killer Innovations podcast and in other podcasts that I've been listening to, traditionally would be in books, magazines, newspapers, or technical journals, all of which are really hard for me to read and understand because I'm not only having to decode the language, but I'm also having to decode the meaning of those words. So it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of brain power, if you will, to understand what's going on in print. Whereas with audio, I can just download it, listen to it, and get the information right away and then process it and use it. So, you know, just podcasting for me has been great because I can just, you know, it's something that wasn't around 10 years ago and it just works with my learning issues. So it's great on that respect. The other thing that has meant a lot to me was just, you know, hearing a lot of people, both on this podcast and others, talk about how innovation and creativity are sort of, you know, the future of business and the way the economy is going. I think, as Phil mentioned in some of the podcasts, that the education system isn't really designed for this sort of creativity, to promote that kind of thinking. And that's been a huge challenge for me growing up with my dyslexia, because I think a lot of my teachers, they knew I could do the work and they knew I understood it, but they just didn't get me. They didn't get my creative side. And I've always been very creative. You know, I did photography, lots of photography in high school. I did like my basketball warm-ups where I would take music and mix it on the computer, and more recently I've done work for a summer camp that I went to and now that I work with, where we take video from the summer and I mix it all together and put it to music, and it's just a great way for the kids to remember their summers. And I've always had this side that's been very creative, and I don't fit into these boxes, you know, and it was a struggle for me growing up dealing with this learning disability. And now to have, I think, people saying that innovation, creativity, this is the way that we're headed, is just great because it sort of justifies a lot of what I was dealing with. Now I know that, you know, there is a place for me and that there is opportunity out there for people like me who have this very creative side and don't fit into any sort of traditional box. On a professional side, it's helped me a lot just focusing my ideas and my career and where I want to go with everything. I recently graduated from Wentworth Institute of Technology in Boston. And when I left, I kind of wanted to do something with my business, business process management, operations management, or something technical, because I'm really into technology, and I also have this creative side, and I just didn't know how it all came together and what kind of job that would be and how it fit together. And, you know, through this podcast and other things, you know, I see that there are jobs out there, like what Marissa Mayer does for Google, where they manage creativity and ideas. And that, to me, that's like my dream job. That's where I would like to be in, you know, 10, 15 years, 20 years, whatever. Just I want to be involved with that sort of idea generation and cultivation and that kind of company. So right now I'm doing a job that's in IT, and I found that it's very difficult for me because of my learning disability. It sort of plays to the weaknesses of my disability rather than something that plays to my strength. So now I'm sort of in the process of, I'm going to start going out and looking for, you know, companies that understand this and jobs where I can be just creative and be myself and you know, not have to worry about fitting into any box. So I think the podcast has just really helped me with that and getting, you know, focused and getting my ideas together. And now I know what I want to do, and I know that this is out there. So I'm not sort of, you know, it helps. And it, and I know, Phil, you talk about paying it forward. Well, you're definitely paying it forward. And I really appreciate everything you've done. And it's just a great, you know, podcast, great show, very informative. And I can't wait to hear, you know, more episodes. So thank you very much.
Hello, Phil and the Killer Innovations community. I just wanted to add a different perspective of the Killer Innovation listener. I'm a wife of an innovator and a small business owner and a mother of six. As a wife, I listen to and read all of that stuff that my husband just doesn't have time to wade through, and then I pass on the good fruit to him. But as a mom, I have two makers, two try-anything-oncers, and two hustlers, and they're all very hardworking. We listen to a lot of very good information-filled podcasts, and we put Killer Innovations way up at the top of that list. Know this, there's a 9-year-old that listens to you while he takes apart perfectly good toys and appliances. Please tell him that Killer Innovation does not mean innovation that kills.
Hey Phil, David Babcock here, serial inventor, serial entrepreneur. I just want to thank you for such a great show that you do, great service to those of us in the inventive and creative communities. It's kind of a small community as far as I'm concerned here in Kansas City. We really, when I talk about the things that I do, I get a blank stare from most people, but it's really nice to connect with you and this other community that you've created of really creative people. And I just want to say that I consider you the guru of the cult of innovation, and I really thank you for what you're doing. I heard you're going to be in Kansas City soon, so I'm going to be there. Plan on it. Thanks a lot. Everybody, listen to this show if you get a chance. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, Phil. My name is Lucas Marino. I'm calling you from Australia, so I guess I'm one of the listeners from furthest away. that you probably have. Phil, I just wanted to leave you feedback on three things, probably for your upcoming 50th show. The first one is, I really like your show, and I've been listening only this year, but it's bringing some of the spark that I've lost probably through my current job back to innovation. So I actually have to thank you for that. And it's really interesting to see innovation from different angles. So that's really good. The second thing is, if you take a look at the knowledge economy, it's really valuable when you put these ideas out and you're actually giving us a lot of information for free. I guess the value for you back is all the comments we make back to you through, you know, either the blog or comments like this or send you emails. What I think will be really good innovation and something maybe the whole group can work on is how can we collectively learn from all that wisdom that is on all the users, and how can we have a mechanism by which not just the blog, but something that we can interact much easily with one another, and then all those ideas become more valuable for the whole community. So I think it's something that it's probably worth exploring. The third thing, and this is probably a hobby horse of mine, is if you look at developing countries, one of the problems they face is we're always implementing technologies in those countries, or at least in a large number of cases, obviously there are exceptions, where these countries adopt what technologies are available in countries right now. So by the time they get there, we've already progressed a few years, if not decades. So maybe there's a mechanism to leap forward that event. Now, that's probably based on what I call, you know, the three-pillar sustain model. It's around education, communications, and probably energy. Now, communication it can be delivered through various ways, but think about if you could deliver, say, the $100 computer and then wireless technologies to these communities, you could, you know, deliver very cheap communication, voice over IP, and so on, and tailor education programs to these communities so they progress. Now, the problem with all this model is how do you actually pay for it? Developing countries don't have the money, and then we need a mechanism by which, by providing this education platform that it's supported by advanced communications and ultimately, well, where it's required, energy generation both from a fuels and an electricity point of view, it just makes the model work quite nicely. So the challenge there is, you know, who's going to pay for it and how can you make it sustainable so it could be, you know, ever improving. Anyway, it's just a bit of a hobby horse and don't want to extend the 3-minute suggestion you had for your feedback. Happy for you to get back to me or for me to send more comments if you want to. Feel free to play this voicemail on your show if you want to. My name is, again, Lucas Moreno, and you can reach me at lucas.moreno, that's lucas.moreno, at csiro.au. Okay, Phil, I'll listen to you then shortly. Bye.
Hey, Phil, this is Patrick. I'm calling from São Paulo, Brazil. All I want to say is thank you very much for your podcast. It has been very illuminating in helping me structure innovation inside my company. I've discovered your podcast about a month ago, and all I can say is I am amazed. I have been spending the last month trying to get caught up. I'm almost done listening to everything. I can't wait for more stuff to come up. Again, thank you very much, and congratulations. It's an amazing thing that you're doing for us.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? This is Alexandro from Mexico. I just want to let you know that your podcast is great. I just discovered a few days ago, and I just been like totally, totally into it for the past few hours. I just download a fair amount of your episodes, and I'm just an instant fan of your podcast. Keep doing a great job.
Hi, Phil. New listener here, Jeff Anderson in Shanghai. Just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy your show. Keep up the great work.
Phil, I'm phoning from Ireland. We get your podcast loud and clear over here. I kind of like what you're doing. I'm old enough to have been wowed by VisiCalc spreadsheet, which was the killer app of the early 70s on an Apple computer. And also my first example of innovation was when me and a bunch of other guys put water through a hover skirt and decided we could lift hundreds of tons that way. So I guess innovation's in the blood. And I'm a pen freak as well. Keep up the good work. Take care. Bye.
Hey, Phil. This is Chris Woodruff. I just wanted to thank you for killer innovation, and I hope the next 50 episodes go as well as the first 50. So I'm not calling for very much. I just wanted to thank you, and that's about it. So hope everything goes well, and if you need anything, you know, there's so many people out in the killer innovation community that will help, so, and I'm one of them. So thank you again, and keep us enlightened. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Phil. This is Gilbert in New York, and you can certainly use this if you'd like. First, I just wanted to say that I've been listening to the podcast since you started, and wanted to thank you for taking the time to create such a valuable resource. Anyway, I was thinking back to your August 21, 2005 show about fast prototyping, and I'd be interested if you could pinpoint specific companies or directories where companies list services for individuals seeking to leverage fast prototyping, so they may better evaluate their product ideas. For example, in the consumer electronics sector, you know, how would I evaluate the myriad of companies, say, in India, who I could approach, especially if I have no experience in working with them? You know, what steps do I need to think about on a macro level? So I realize this, you know, could create a conflict of interest, since it could be seen as endorsement of other companies. However, I think it would be a great resource for members. Anyway, thanks again, and take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, Phil. My name is RJ Dolan, and I've been listening to your show since about show 20. And just recently caught up on the full catalog. I am eagerly awaiting the next episode, as I'm sure all your listeners are. I know that for your 50th show, you wanted to use a lot of listener feedback, and I wanted to go ahead and contribute some questions that I had. My first question has to do with provisional patents, and what I'm hoping is that by applying for a provisional patent, I would gain the status of patent pending, thereby protecting my idea and myself long enough to pursue the idea and see if it's worth doing. My understanding is that a provisional patent is somewhere around $100 to file and considerably easier to complete. And my second question is really just a carryover of the first question, and it's specific to the status of patent pending. Does the status of patent pending protect me until my patent is either approved or denied? My compliments and thanks to you, Phil, for an excellent show. I find it both informative and inspirational, and I'm looking forward to the next episode.
Hi, Phil. This is Nick Dynas. I think you should be a little bit more demanding when it comes to getting feedback from the killer question. Or are you getting a lot of feedback? Are there some back channel conversations that are going on? I would think that most of them would be posted on the KI community. You know, and occasionally people post, but yeah, I think we need to get more participation, myself included. Every time you ask a killer question, you know, I feel guilty because I haven't, I mean, I think about it, but, you know, I don't post a response. And yeah, I think a lot more listeners should start doing that. I think you should start challenging us a little bit more. All right, thanks.
G'day, Phil. It's Tim Reed here from Melbourne, Australia. Well done on making a difference to people's lives everywhere. I think that's the best way I can sum up your Killer Innovations podcast phenomenon. It's been fantastic, mate. Your commitment to start with is incredible. To do it week in, week out like you do is highly commendable. I remember sending you an email about 8 weeks in saying, please don't go away. And you said in an email back you had no intention, and you were damn right there. So thanks for making a difference, mate. It's certainly made a difference in my life and providing some structure to the whole innovation process, and I really appreciate it. Your travel schedule never ceases to amaze me. I figured out where you work, which isn't hard. I'd love to know what you do in your 250,000 miles a year traveling. Maybe one day you will reveal that. My story, Phil, and to the listeners, I have a marketing communications background, advertising, marketing, both sides of the fence. And for 20 years, I have been constantly amazed at people's unwillingness, really, to explore ideas beyond the norm. And I certainly got frustrated in my time in advertising where the only people who could be creative were the creative people themselves, of which I wasn't one. I was in management. But it's very clear, Phil, that anyone can have a good idea. I then went and worked in a charity because I felt as though I'd done my time in advertising and marketing. And in working in the charity, it was a charity that helps young kids at risk, and I went and I realized that teaching was what I was put on this earth to do. So I explored teaching and realized that that wasn't going to pay the family income, or not as much as I wanted anyway. I then came across your podcast and had an epiphany and realized that I could combine my teaching skills with my love of marketing, with my love of idea generation, and turn that into a business. So I have, and I can thank you for that, Phil. I've created a business called The Ideas Guy. For those of you who want to check me out or get in contact with me, it's The Ideas Guy, www.theideasguy.com.au. And that business is kicking along beautifully, and I've taken a lot of the learnings from the Killer Innovations podcasts over the last 51 weeks, and applied them. I've also listened a lot to the Doug Hall podcast, which has also been great. And I'm now out there helping other organisations be their best, realise the potential that lies within is the best way I can put it. So well done, Phil, for encouraging me to do that. And I bet you didn't even know you did. Happy birthday, Killer Innovations. Happy first birthday. And may there be many, many more to come.
Now, to address some of the questions and comments that were raised during this podcast, first of all, the question that was raised by Gilbert from New York with regards to companies and directories for fast prototyping. Now, the best source that I have found for companies with regards to being able to do quick prototyping, rapid prototyping, or actually helping you build your proof of concepts, first off, go out and subscribe to or pick up an issue of ID Magazine. This is the industrial design magazine, and in the back of the magazine they'll have a list of a number of companies, both large and small. ID Magazine also puts out an annual edition that lists all of the companies that are in the space in a variety of different areas, both from helping you with your original concept designs all the way down to proof of concepts, etc. Another choice is to go out and work with companies, firms that actually help you in the creativity process and the proof of concept. Companies like Eureka Ranch or companies like IDEO. Now, those companies are going to be extremely expensive. But they, if you've got the money or you've got support from outside an outside entity or your employer is interested, these companies are excellent and can help you move the process through early proof of concepts and help you with early market validation. And then there's a whole variety of offshoring firms. The key there, though, is that if you're looking to go offshore and work with some of the design houses that are located in Asia-Pacific, regions such as India, Taiwan, Singapore, China, etc., just be very careful. The key there is to make sure that you control the intellectual property. Question number two raised by RJ with regards to provisional patents. First off, I'm going to put another disclaimer in here. I am not a lawyer, albeit I have a lot of experience in patents. Do not take any of this as legal advice. Please seek out competent legal advice with regards to your own intellectual properties. With regards to provisional patents, it is U.S. only. It is low cost. You can do them fairly easily. And basically, it starts the clock from the standpoint of being able to prove the time that you came up with the idea. The key with a provisional patent, though, is that in itself does not start the patenting process. It just starts the clock. You must submit still a completed patent application within a specified time frame. If I recall correctly, I think it's a year. I'm not a big user of provisional patent. The key here is that you have to understand that the U.S. is what is called a first to invent. So even though you may invent something, if you have very good lab notebooks, your notebook pages are numbered, date and timed, witnessed by somebody claiming that they understand the idea or the background of your invention, that notebook can be used to prove that you had a prior idea or you came up with something before somebody else did. So it's a first to invent. Internationally, international patents are all focused on first to file. So in that case, those that get the paperwork in and get it officially on the record books is key. And there's some talk about, you know, how do we deal with this in the international world, but just so you know, U.S. is first to invent, international is first to file. Having the ability to have the patent pending on your invention, whether that be a physical good, a piece of software, or whatever, that also starts the clock, because once you've placed that in a prominent place where anybody who's buying your product can see it, it starts the clock of when you can go back and claim damages. Once you've attached that patent pending claim on your item, anybody who then steals your idea or does your idea that violates your patent, should your patent be awarded, you can go back to that date, and any profits enjoyed from during that time frame can be put up and be claimed against from the standpoint of any damages should you be able to sue. So the key there is once you've confirmed the filing, check with your attorneys, but it's always good practice then to go ahead and put the patent pending term on your product, wherever that might be. The other thing you just got to be aware of is patents take a long time. This is not a short-term process. I just got involved with office actions on patents. These are comments that you get back from the U.S. Patent Office where they may have a question on a claim or they may not agree with certain things that are written in the patent, and you have to reply back to those. These are patents that were filed 2-3 years ago, and we're just now getting first comments back from the patent office. So that is that's a key thing to just to be aware of. The next question that was brought up in the feedback came from Nick, and it was primarily around being more demanding on feedback on the killer questions. Now, first off, Nick, there is no back channel. The communications with you, the listeners, primarily through two ways. One is by email, and I do get a fair amount of email from you, the listeners. I do appreciate that. And the rest comes from the KI community itself and the KI community site. Some of the killer questions have been posted. I'll try to start posting each week's question and then open it up to comments. I don't think I've got quite the energy level and time level to go back and try to catch up on the previous 49 questions that have been put into the podcast. Going forward, I will post one question at the end of each week into the KI community site and then open it up for comments. So I do really appreciate that. And I am going to take up next challenge, but I'm going to challenge you, the listeners, to participate. Join in at the KI community site. Post your questions. Post your thoughts. Don't feel like you don't have anything to contribute. Again, this is a community, and it's an opportunity for everybody to share their expertise for the benefit of all. And with that, I think I'm going to wrap up this week. First off, I just want to say thank you. I had an incredibly hard time putting together this show, given the feedback and the comments and your thoughts on the podcast. Your words of encouragement means a lot to me. It's what keeps me going day in and day out to put together the content for this podcast. And without you, there wouldn't be a show. It's like the old saying, right? If a tree falls in the woods and there's nobody around, does it make a sound? The same with a podcast. If you put out a podcast, but it has no one listening, is it really a show? So without you, there wouldn't be the Killer Innovations podcast. And I do thank you for that. So thanks again for listening. Please keep in touch. Send me an email at podcast@killerinnovations.com. Post on the KI community site, or you can call me and leave a message on the voicemail feedback line at 703-636-4460. And for this week, set aside 15 minutes for a private KI innovation session. Come up with at least 25 ideas and find that one idea that could be the next killer innovation. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.